The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 17th, 2009, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 11. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Ye yathamam prapajyante thangsta chaiva bhajam yaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya parata sarvasha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Zanaprita. I'll be easier if I read the entire purport and then you can read it. I'll go straight through. This is for the recording. And then you can read the translation. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as a supreme master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord within the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person, and are able to render personal service to the Lord, and thus derive transcendental bliss, his loving service. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of a living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service of the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them, who are not firmly situated even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yageshvara, and those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone, and all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarva kamova Mokshakama Udharadhi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushamparam. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vidantam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamsha. So, how much do you want Krishna? How much do you want of Krishna? Mm-hmm. Krishna says, inasmuch as I surrender to me, I bore them accordingly. What is the reward he's talking about? Is that money? Is that fame? Is that sex life? No. Krishna himself is the reward. The devotee desires Krishna and only Krishna. He doesn't have any other desire. And according to how much he has surrendered himself to Krishna, that much he gets Krishna. So each one of us is in that position of getting as much Krishna as we're willing to surrender ourselves to Krishna. That's why I ask you, how much Krishna do you want? 1%? 2%? 50%? 100%? No one dictates to you how much Krishna you get. No one dictates to you how much you realize Krishna. Not your temple president, not the GBC, not the spiritual master. It's simply up to you. How much do you want to surrender to Krishna? to whatever extent you decide you would like to surrender to Krishna and you actually manifest that surrender, to that extent you will realize Krishna. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So, a interested outsider may ask, why would I want to get Krishna? I mean, can I see him? Can I touch him? Is he real? He may argue that for all I know, Krishna is some make-believe mythological figure that you're simply, you have blind faith in. Who is this Krishna and why should he matter at all to my life? So what is the answer? I remember when a young person on a college campus, he one time told me, he said, everything is a myth. The Beatles also had a song like that. They said, nothing is real. Everything is, this means everything is just a myth, it's just an illusion. So what if they tell that everything is a myth? Krishna is a myth, everything's a myth. What will be our answer? You see, can we prove to them that Krishna is real? What if they tell us that everything is a myth? I thought about it, and he said, everything is a myth. I was thinking, well, even if that's true, that everything is a myth, this is the best myth I've ever found. It's the best myth I've ever found. I've tried so many myths, and none of them satisfied me, but this myth is a very blissful myth. But actually, you know what? This philosophy that everything is a myth is very easy to defeat. I'll show you how to defeat it. If we say that everything is a myth, that everything means everything. So the philosophy that everything is a myth is also part of everything. So if everything is a myth, then the philosophy everything a myth is also a myth. And it defeats itself, you see, it cancels itself out. So you tell me everything is a myth, and I say, yes, your philosophy is a myth. I agree, your philosophy is a myth. So that gets us back to reality, you see. If everything is a myth, it must by definition be mythological concept, then that means there has to be reality. That means there is reality. Dharma projata kaita votra paramo namitsaranam sutam vejam vastavamastu shiva damta patrayon mulanam shrimad bhagavate mahamuni krite king vaiparayarishvara sadyo hridyavarujyate kra kritibi shushu shubish tachana. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all.
Yeah,
So we have proven philosophically that there must be reality. Because the philosophy of non-reality cancels itself out. So the Bhagavatam is the wonderful treatise which distinguishes reality from illusion. And what is the result of that distinguishing reality from illusion? Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. And what are the threefold miseries? Adiyatmik, Adibhautik, Adidaivik. Adiyatmik is miseries caused by the mind and the body. Adibhautik is miseries caused by other living beings. And Adidaivik are miseries caused by natural disasters. So, we are, and by climatic conditions. So, we are always being tormented by at least one of these threefold miseries. But if you can cultivate the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, that distinguishing of reality from illusion will yank those miseries out of your heart, so that you will no longer become under their influence. That is not to say that those miseries will not still continue happening in this world. They will continue happening. People will still get sick. People will still be harassed by demoniac persons. There will still be excessive heat and excessive cold. These miseries will continue. However, that person who has cultivated this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, he will become transcendental to these miseries. Just like an airplane pilot, he's flying through a storm. How to escape the storm? Can you just push a button and nullify the storm? No, the storm will continue. But he can elevate the airplane above the storm, fly, go above the storm where it's calm and beautiful. So Krishna consciousness means to elevate your consciousness beyond the threefold miseries to the transcendental plane where life is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So how do you get your airplane to that higher level? And what is that airplane anyway? That airplane is your consciousness. So how do you elevate your airplane to the higher level? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, it is stated by Krishna that the devotees of the Lord satatang kirtiyanto mang yatantascha dridrvata namashantascha mang bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Constantly chanting my glories, bowing down before me, you see, worshipping me with great determination in this way, the great souls, they engage in my devotional service. Dridhavrataha, they worship me with great determination. So, but this process of Krishna consciousness, one becomes free from these miseries. So you may say, well, I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, but I go through so many miseries. There must be something wrong with this process. No. It simply means that your practice is not very advanced yet. You have not yet mastered the art of jitavratta, of becoming very strongly fixed in your determination. That's all. Simply means your determination is weak. So how do you increase your determination? You just have to remember our little friend. You know who our little friend is? That little sparrow, you see? Remember the little sparrow? Who was the ocean stole her eggs? Our little friend, the sparrow, you see? If you simply remember our little friend, the sparrow, she is our guru. She is teaching us the art of determination. So if we remember our little Gurudev sparrow, he's teaching us by her example. To make our determination, I must fully surrender myself to Krishna, and I'm not going to let anything stand in the way of that. I don't care what it is. Nothing will stand in the way of my becoming a pure devotee. That is fixed determination. If anything gets in the way, then just get the hell out of here. That's all. That is called staunch determination. Drida vratta. So if we take that mood of determination, remembering our little hero, the sparrow, well, actually, hero is a masculine noun. Our little heroine, the sparrow, you see. And then we will become successful in elevating our consciousness beyond these miseries of material existence. This is how advanced devotees are always ecstatic. Nothing brings them down. It doesn't matter if something good happens to them or something bad happens to them. They use every experience, good and bad, to elevate their consciousness higher and higher and higher. Just like a sharp businessman. When the economy goes up, he sells his goods. And when the economy goes down, he buys goods. In this way, he is always advancing his business. He's expanding his empire. Every day, expanding his empire a little more, a little more. One of my Jewish godbrothers, he said, another day, another dollar. So, the expert businessman, he's constantly expanding his business. Good economy, bad economy, it doesn't matter. So someone who is actually fixed in Krishna consciousness, he uses every experience to his advantage. The good ones, the bad ones, the beautiful ones, and the ugly ones. Everything he uses to expand his Krishna consciousness, to go to higher and higher levels of bhakti. Therefore, nothing ever destroys his equilibrium. He is truly equipoised. Achala apuryamanam. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam. Samudrama pa pravishanti yadvat. Tadvat kamayang pravishanti sarve. Shushantam adno apnoti nakamakami. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 70. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but always remains still, can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So the point is, even advanced devotees are attacked by material desires. But they always defeat the attacks. The material desire comes, and they don't let it affect them at all. Just like the ocean always maintains the same level. Even though so many rivers are flowing into that ocean. Millions and billions of gallons of water are flowing into that ocean at every minute. But does the ocean come higher and higher now? It stays the same level. So, how does it do that? So constantly evaporating that water that's flowing into. So, in this way, the devotee, even if some material desires come, he just lets them evaporate out of his... He lets them evaporate away. That's all. It's not that a material desire attacks him. He thinks, oh, now I have to serve my senses. No, he doesn't think. Just like an expert fighter on the battlefield. Every attack, he counterattacks, he defeats the enemy. So, the advanced devotee, even though he's attacked by the material nature, he defeats that attack. With what weapon? The weapon of knowledge. He sees everything through the eyes of the scripture. He has so many varieties of weapons. So many verses. So many prayers. He has the holy names. He has his spiritual master. He has previous acharyas, he has Lord Chaitanya, he has so many ways he can take shelter. So he never allows anything to overwhelm his equilibrium in Krishna consciousness. And this way he always remains staunchly fixed, Dhidavrata. And he progresses very steadily on this pathway of complete total surrender to Krishna and full realization of Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions. So all the questions have been answered by Prabhupada's mercy. No one has any questions now. Everyone is all right.
Prabhupada always criticized and personalized.
Yeah.
And how we can decide about ourselves? If I impersonal.
How you can know if you're if you're an impersonalist or not?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, there are different symptoms of the impersonalists. One is that they are envious of God. The idea of bowing down to another person disturbs them very much. They're willing to accept the idea of God. But only if they get to be God. I believe in God. I'll believe in God as long as I get to be God, then it's okay. So, if you're not willing to accept Krishna as the your supreme master, then you're definitely an impersonalist. But if you're willing to acknowledge that, yes, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead and I'm his eternal servant. Then you're a personalist. So which are you, Mataji? Are you an impersonalist or a personalist? Do you accept that Krishna is the supreme and you're his eternal servant? Very good. Yeah, you're a personalist. But we all have tinges of impersonalism sitting in our heart. Just like if some brahmachari thinks, why Krishna gets to have all those girlfriends and I don't? If some brahmachari thinks, well, why Krishna gets to have all those girlfriends and I can't have a girlfriend? See, that's impersonalism. That means that brahmachari has got some impersonalism in his heart. So in this way, we all have certain degrees of impersonal contamination sitting in our hearts. So we shouldn't be proud thinking, yes, I'm a personalist. We should be very humble and think by Prabhupada's mercy and Vaishnava mercy and Guru mercy, somehow a personalist, but I have a ways to go to really become perfect. A perfect personalist. Yeah, that was a nice question, though. I appreciate it. Yeah, another one?
Personalist. If I go to temple to visit temple and thinking about what can I bring to temple, what can I bring to deities, or if I go to temple just to enjoy, have fun, so I am impersonal.
Yeah, but if you come to the temple thinking that you are Krishna. Sometimes impersonalists come to our temples thinking, I am Krishna. Ha, 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 ha. There used to be, when I had a little preaching center in Oklahoma, that's in the U.S., one lady who was impersonalist, she used to come to our Sunday program. Her name was Carolyn. And I told Carolyn that actually, you know, Krishna always gets to enjoy. We offer to Krishna first before we take the food. It has to be offered first to Krishna. First he enjoys, and then after he enjoys, then we enjoy. So one Sunday afternoon when I was cooking the Sunday feast, this woman showed up early and she stuck her head in the kitchen door and she went, smelling the cooking, she said, "What is Krishna going to enjoy today?" In other words, I am Krishna and now I am enjoying this feast. That's definitely an impersonalist. I know these impersonalists very well, actually. I know them very well. Because I was one of them previously. The first time I went to the temple, I went to one of the most famous temples. The second temple of ISKCON was 518 Frederick Street in Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco, California. I was a staunch impersonalist. Staunch means completely 100% impersonal. I went into the temple and I was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And one of the Brahmacharinis, she said, "Oh, you're chanting so nicely." And in my mind, I was thinking, I'm telling you the truth. I was thinking, if she only knew that I am Krishna. And I was laughing. So I know these impersonalists very well. I was one of them, very much an impersonalist before, yeah. But I was saved by the good graces of such great stalwart preachers as Makan Lal Prabhu and His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami Maharaj. They saved me. So I'm indebted to these my God brothers. So we have to take the Vaishnava's mercy, you see. The Vaishnavas, they will help us get over this impersonal tendency in the heart. So, any other questions?
You said that we have to gather experience, even if we have bad, you know, things happening in our life. It's bad experience, it's good too. But how to see these things positive?
How to
see things positive.
Yes. Tate nukampam susumikshamano evatmukritam vapamansi. Susmikshamano, Krishna, I'm forgetting him. Tatenukampam susmikshamano, bunjana evatma kritang vipakam, tadvagbapur vir vidadang namaste, jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. This verse is from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this verse states, "My dear Lord, those persons who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them. Who continue suffering the reactions to their past misdeeds, while constantly offering you respectful obeisances from within the cores of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So that's the key. You have to see every experience as you're burning off your past. If something bad happens, you're simply burning off your past karma. That's all. You're getting rid of your past karma. If you tormented somebody in a previous lifetime, you see, and now you're being tormented, don't become angry at your tormentor. He's simply delivering you your reaction for your previous tormenting of others. Therefore, the pure devotee, he has no grudges against anyone. He sees the whole thing is being orchestrated by Krishna to free me from all of my contamination. So I'm qualified to get out of this damn place. So devotee, therefore, becomes more and more jubilant day by day by day. No matter what happens to him. Okay.
We must have like soft, tender heart. Mm-hmm. So, but after years of practice, mm-hmm. we can see our heart is like stone.
Mm-hmm. So what to do?
What to do?
Yeah. What do you do? Even after so many years of practice, you still have this stone-hearted, steel-framed heart. Well, you got a good friend. You got a good friend to help you. It's called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means your heart is still steel-framed. Steel-framed? You know, they like steel in your heart. It doesn't melt. You act out of duty. And then by acting out of duty, gradually the heart will melt. Vishaya vinivartante. What is it? Vishaya vinivartante. Nirahara dehina. Rashavar shang rishopyashva parang drishtvani vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. 259. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So what you're really asking is how to get that higher taste. Because right now, I've still got a bitter taste. It's just like the old example of John, you know, the jaundiced man. He has jaundice and sugar candy tastes bitter. So he has to surrender to his doctor, you see. That's the easy solution. By surrendering to your spiritual master, you see? That's the formula. By taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, the spiritual master puts you on a regimen, a recovery regimen. By surrendering yourself to your spiritual master's recovery regimen, he'll give you your instructions. You do this, 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 and you'll recover. So, just like the doctor gives prescription, guru gives prescription. He'll give you your own form, he'll give you your own personal prescription. It's described, Prabhupada describes, the spiritual master, he will give each disciple a specific instructions. You see? According to the nature of that individual student. So, by having a bona fide spiritual master and surrendering 100% to everything he tells you without any question, just complete surrender to his orders, then the magic happens. That stone heart begins to melt. And you just go, wow, this is amazing. I read about it in Prabhupada's books, but I never tasted it. And now I'm beginning to taste it, and it's so sweet. It's much better than I thought it would be. So the key is you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Follow his instructions precisely. We have many gurus in our movement. Doesn't matter which guru you choose, but you find that guru where you can fully surrender yourself. And by that surrender to Gurudeva, you'll become perfect. Is that all right? Okay.
Question. You said in the lecture that you're going to have this determination to practice Bhakti Yoga.
Yes. Yeah.
And to see only this, like, book distribution, how much books were distributed.
Yeah.
There were like millions of books were distributed.
Yes,
all
yes.
Over the world.
Yes.
And right now, the statistics, they show that every year, even maybe 5 years, the statistics, the graphic, like, is getting lower. You know, it's...
Well, it's time to build it up again. Sometimes things go up, and now it's time to go up again, you see, and push it up. Every devotee should be a book distributor, full-time or part-time. Every devotee. Everyone should go out sometimes for book distribution. And those who can do it full-time, they should do it full-time. Simple thing. Actually, there's nothing. Actually, there's nothing more ecstatic than giving somebody Prabhupada's books. It's the ultimate nectar.
But actually, the question I was about to ask.
Oh, okay.
Send us a drop of his own because he is determined.
Yes. You can pray to guru, you can pray to Krishna. You can pray to the great preachers for their blessings, that you one can develop a taste for distributing this knowledge. I recommend that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a great song for this purpose. Kabbe habbe bolo seidi nama Aparada guchi shudaname ruchi Kripa bole habbe hridoye sanshar Kabe habe bolo seidi nama. You know how to sing it in Russian? I can sing it in English. In English it goes like this. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine. Kabe habe... When, oh, when will that day be mine? Can you sing it in Russian? So the Vaishnava, he is always hankering to get that mercy, you see, to taste the name. And in the final verse of this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is begging for the mercy that he can go out and preach. You see? When he can forget his sense gratitude, he can give up all thoughts of sense enjoyment and simply preach the command divine. When, oh, when will that day be mine that I can preach the command divine? If you study the songs of Bhaktivinoda and Narottam, you will find very great inspiration for developing that taste for bhakti. Developing that taste for preaching work, you see. The prayers of Prabhupada also. The Sikshastakam. By studying these great prayers by these great, great acharyas, then you can learn how to conquer your mind and develop the proper determination for being 100% absorbed in the mood of a preacher. Any other questions?
Faith comes from knowledge, but
knowledge.
Faith.
Faith. Okay.
Yeah, come from knowledge, mm-hmm. But from where our in Soviet Union, many devotees didn't have any books, any knowledge, but they had so strong faith. They get even in prison, so, but they had very strong faith.
Which you're saying devotees are getting faith without any knowledge?
Yeah.
By association also one can get faith.
Because they didn't have any books in Soviet Union.
In the beginning days of ISKCON, they had hardly any knowledge at all. But they had great faith in Prabhupada. So, in this way, by the Vaishnava's mercy, even if they don't have much knowledge, just by the Sangha, Vaishnava Sangha, they can get great faith. So, therefore, we have to give them association. We have to be very merciful and give people our association. If they develop faith in us as being saintly people, they will develop faith in our process also. And then they'll be willing to hear and learn and become expert in the knowledge also. So this means we have to become saintly. And by our developing all saintly qualities, by their associating with us, they will also become faithful. Any other questions? Okay, thank you all very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.